you have your Bibles, let's open together Colossians chapter 4. We're going to read together from verse 2. And this is, as I say, our second last message on Colossians. We finish off next week. And hasn't it been a brilliant letter, the Colossians? How many of you have enjoyed it? It's been good, hasn't it? It's been a great letter, and we've learned so much from it. So let's just read from chapter 2 to verse 17 together. It says, from verse 2 to verse 17, Colossians 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open a door to us, a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. He will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and at Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. And then next week we'll look at the last verse. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace or blessing be with you. Amen. And so this morning we want to, we almost finished, but we want to talk about connecting to mission. Here Paul is at the end of his letter. He comes to the end of his letter that he's writing from prison. He's encouraging the church in Colossae. And he also wants to greet and encourage a number of the people in the church there. So we have a number of the names. And we learn a lot about Paul and the work of God in the end of these letters of Paul as he addresses people as well. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Connecting to mission and what Paul's mission was and what our mission is today as well. Because we've seen, just by way of introduction, over the last months and year that God has given us a number of key words. A number of key words that God has given us over the last, I would say, year that have become more and more important to us. And that is, we're talking on connecting to mission. The word reformed, it really is speaking about the ministry of the word, grace teaching, reformed teaching that God has given us from the word of God, that we believe in the grace of God, that we are secure in Christ, and all those great things that we've been speaking about. Secondly, we believe that we're a people of the Spirit. We're a charismatic people as well. That we're a people of word and a people of spirit. And then we're also missional. We're a people on mission. We want to share the gospel with others in our city and beyond. And finally, we're also apostolic. We're not just missional and evangelistic, but we're an apostolic people as well. We want to see churches planted, and we want to see that gift of the apostle working amongst us as well. We've been connecting to PJ as well of late, which has been wonderful. So these have been key words that God has given us. We're a people of the word, people of the spirit, we're missional, and we're apostolic as well. And we thank God for these things that he's given us. And this morning we want to focus on connecting for mission, that we're a people on a mission. And so let me just help by just introducing Colossians, the things that we've been going through over the last few months, just to refresh your memories. First of all, we've been saying that Colossians has revealed to us the great secret of the Christian life. It's an amazing letter, and it reveals us the great secret of the Christian life. And I want to just mention five things to you as we summarize this book together, this letter together. And the first thing is this, that Christ is our head. Let's say that together. Christ is our head. And we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we are to walk in Him. And we are to follow Him. And we are to worship Him and rejoice in Him. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 says, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just turn to the person next to you and say, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And maybe we don't always live like that, but the Colossians tells us that we have been given this great revelation that now that we belong to Him, He has come to indwell us, and Christ is in us, the hope of glory. He is the hope of glory in us, in His church, in His people. And so we are now in Christ, and we have died and been raised with Christ. We are alive in Christ. We are united to Christ. Michael Eaton says in his commentary on Colossians, you have already been punished for your sins. You've already conquered sin. And when you are tempted to sin, it is a conquered enemy trying to get back his power because you have been delivered from Satan already. Your real home is in heaven. Redemption cannot be reversed or undone. Once you have boiled an egg, you can't unboil the egg. Once you are saved, you are saved forever. That is what Jesus has done. Salvation has changed your status in the universe forever. Let's give the Lord a clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have received grace from Him. We've been loved by the Father, and we've received grace from Him, grace from Jesus. Day by day, we've received grace from the Lord Jesus. And so, we've seen also from Colossians that it's not through philosophy or through religion, but through Jesus alone that we have been justified, we've been regenerated, we've been sanctified as well, we've been given the Holy Spirit in order to walk before the Lord. That's what Colossians has told us. It's an amazing book. It's a wonderful book. I've learned so much from it. And now He's leading us unto maturity. He's wanting us as a people of God with Christ in us to mature and grow up unto Him who is the head. Colossians 1 verse 28, Paul says, I want every one of you, I want to present every one of you mature in Christ. And so that's his plea, that's the Bible's plea over and over, that now that we're saved, we're looking for a mature people. Not to be children any longer and babies in Christ, but to grow up unto Him who is our head. That we will match the head in Christ-likeness, in love, in glory, in obedience, and in wisdom. And that means when Jesus returns, He's coming back for a church that's mature and complete in every way. And what we're doing in this nation and what we're doing in Mozambique and other places is helping to bring the church to maturity in a small way through the gifts and the resources that He's given us. And so this morning I want to talk to you further about being connected to mission, because Paul talks, if you have a look at chapter 4, he says there, now, continue steadfastly in prayer. As he comes to the end of his letter, he says, I want you, Colossians, come on, to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word of God to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Hallelujah. And so he comes to them as Colossians. He says, now, I want you to pray for an open door for the word of God, because God has called us onto mission. God has called us to spread this word to the nations. He's called us to take the word to the nations. I was reading an article this week, 7 reasons why we should do mission. 1, because the Lamb is worthy. 2, because the lost are dying. 3, because the poor are suffering. 4, because the church has been commissioned. Our vision statement is this vision statement of Jesus. In Matthew 28, He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And because believers need that vision to reach the lost as well. We're there to reach the lost. 6, because the Father is waiting. And finally, because the Spirit is moving today such as never before. The Holy Spirit is moving in the earth today. Let me read you something from this article by Floyd McClung on the Spirit moving. He says, we are living in the time of the greatest revival in the history of the church. I don't know if you've realized lately, Dave sent me some articles to read, but there's tremendous things happening and persecution in Iraq and in the Arab world as well as the Muslim world rises up against Christians. They killed a number of Christians in a church in Iraq, I think 2 weeks ago, and it's because there's such a presence of Christians now in these Muslim countries that have started to penetrate in these Muslim countries. And he says here, we're living in a time of one of the greatest revivals in the history of the church. There have been times in church history when the Spirit has moved on one continent, and then at other times when the Spirit has moved on another continent. What is unusual about this period of history is that the Spirit of God is bringing millions of people to himself simultaneously on every continent. The church is growing in China. Somebody sent me another article today. Do you know that the biggest Bible printers in the world at the moment, I think they're called Amlia or something, is in China. They are printing, is it 80 million Bibles a month or something in China at the moment. The biggest Bible printers in the world at the moment are in China, printing Chinese Bibles. And we are seeing Chinese, everywhere you go in Africa, they're Chinese at the moment. They're setting up shops and buildings and so on. And we are going to see the re-evangelization of the world through the Chinese. As China becomes a dominant world power and these Christians spill out into nations that haven't heard the gospel. So God is doing things all over the place. And the church is growing mightily in places like China, Indonesia, India, Korea, Latin America, Africa, literally all over the world. God has brought down the Berlin Wall and the communist government of Eastern Europe, and now his Spirit is tearing down walls of fear and cultural separation that hide Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists from Jesus. It is God's gracious intervention and the church's sacred privilege to participate in this unprecedented move of the Holy Spirit. Who would want to miss out on what our Father is doing in the earth today? God has chosen this time to gather people from all the peoples of the earth in a way he has never done before. It's the will of God for the church to be part of what God is doing. The church is what God is doing. He is raising up a people for himself from among the peoples of the earth. Hallelujah. We've got a Korean couple in this church as well that have come from Korea to evangelize Africa. They're sitting over there. Hallelujah. Let's give them a clap. Amen. Amen. I said to them, what are you doing in South Africa? What are you doing in South Africa? They said to me, Young Jay, Mink Young, they said, God has sent us here to spread the gospel in Africa. There's a shift of people around the world today, and we are seeing more people saved than ever before. And they're getting saved in places that were in the past unreached by the gospel. There's a move of the Spirit, a missionary move of the Spirit today. We've just had the Lausanne conference as well. Vuyo was there in Cape Town a few weeks ago. I asked her to speak, but she was not in many of the sessions. But we've had the Lausanne conference of world evangelization taking place in Cape Town a month ago, where the churches and Christians and leaders from all over the world came together to talk about the next mighty move of God. And it's happening already into the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are hungry for the gospel. And people are hungry for the gospel of grace. The guys we've met in Mozambique were connected with Heidi Baker. They've seen the dead raised. They've seen people healed. Just stuff we can learn from. But they're hungry for the word. They've just said, we've never heard about this gospel of grace before. It's been principles and other laws and other things. And we're just hungry for the word of God. And so we also have a contribution to make. But brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say is we are living in a time of an unprecedented move of God in the world today. Unprecedented move of God. Speaking to Michael Eaton, who was with us a month ago, he said the South Africans, the diaspora of South Africans that are all over the world now. There are South Africans that are all over the world. Probably 2 million white South Africans have left this country, gone all over the world, besides other folk as well. Many of them Christians. They're doing a good work in all those nations. And he says every time he comes back to South Africa, he sees the churches are growing, they're fuller, there are more people being saved. He says he thinks we're in some kind of revival in South Africa and we don't even know it in terms of the church. And so we're in the midst of these things. You may say, Craig, where did you get this from? No, people are writing about this. This is what is happening today under our very noses. And so God has connected us, brothers and sisters, for mission and for ministry. He's called us to take the gospel to the neighborhood and to the nations. And that's what we've been talking about over the last year, saying that God has called us to a mission. He's called us to reach our cities. We'll come to that just now, not just to reach the church as well. And Paul is writing to the Colossians as he ends his letter. He's writing from prison. His feet were in stocks. Those prisons were not happy places. And he's writing and he's urging the Colossians, come on, share the word of God. Take the word of God, take the gospel into your area, into your nations as well. And there in verse 2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer and pray for us that God may open a door for us for the word of God. What for? To declare the mystery of Christ. That's the specific part of the word that we need to share. It's about Jesus and who he is, because the gospel is Jesus and Jesus is the gospel. And so he's praying that a door would open. We've been praying, Lord, keep opening doors in Pietermaritzburg. Lord, keep opening doors in the nations. Lord, please keep opening doors in Mozambique and other places as well. And he's praying for that our mission and our ministry needs to be bathed in prayer, praying for our church, praying for our mission, praying for our city, praying for our leaders. We've got Krista, a young single girl. She's 30-something. She's in Tajikistan, in some village in the mountains, on her own. On her own. I mean, she's with the mission organization, OM, but she's gone there on her own. We need to be praying for her daily. She's a brave young girl. I emailed her the other day. I said, whenever I feel like moaning, I just think of you and I stop moaning because you're such an encouragement to me. We need to pray for Krista. We've got Albie and Tracy in Finland, a nation that needs the gospel so desperately. We've been involved in a church plant with Paul Simpson and Shannon down the road in Harding. Vic is there this morning helping to lead worship. Brothers and sisters, this is what God is calling us to in these days, to reach our city and to reach the nations. And we need to be praying about it. It's so important. We need to, this thing of prayer and the mission need to come together. We need to be praying about it. I need to be praying about it. You need to be praying about it. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would open a door for us as a church, as a congregation. Just pray with me. Lord, we pray that particularly in the months to come, Lord, as we look at next year, Lord, that you would keep opening doors for us for this word of the gospel to declare the mystery of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would stir us as a church to pray more, to be those that pray that a door would swing wide for your gospel and for your word. Lord, the seeds that have been planted, even over the last 2 weeks in Mozambique, Lord, that you would water them, that you would cause them to grow. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. And so Paul encourages them to pray that the word may be opened. Amen. And he says in verse 12, if you have a look there, he says Epaphras has based his ministry in prayer. He said he's been praying much for you. He's been praying much for you. I think we've had so many breakthroughs this year. I think it's been one of the best years we've had in this church. But I think the area of prayer is one of the areas we need to really grow in. It's still been an area of great weakness and caused much anguish in my own life. Lord Jesus, help us to grow in prayer. Lord, help us to be a church that gathers in prayer. Lord, we want to see our leaders in our Thursday prayer meeting not so busy that we never hear to pray. And it's something that's caused me a lot of wrestling with the Lord and looking at the situation. We need to pray that God would open a door in prayer. We need that to do. And Paul prays for that. And he says, Epaphras, verse 12, chapter 4, he says there, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. And so we need to be a church that's praying. We need folk amongst us, and praise God, we have many of them that keep praying for us. Pray for us as leaders. Pray that God would open a door for us in prayer. When you gather in your small groups, you know, spend the evening in prayer. Lord, open a door for us in Maritzburg. Open up opportunities for us because we're a people on mission. And so that's the first thing. Paul prays for a door to be opened for the word, and he says we need to keep praying for this. Brothers and sisters, I would ask you to do that. I would ask you to do that, that you would pray for us in this nation. Pray for our church. Pray for the city. And pray for what God's doing in Maputo. I don't know what the future holds. But won't you pray that God does that? We are connected with most of the leaders in Maputo that are wanting training and wanting the gospel. Won't you keep praying into that? Secondly, he also says, verse 5, he says, I want you also to make the best of the time, or make the most of every opportunity. He says, I want you to make the most of every opportunity for witnessing to your neighbors, to your colleagues, to visitors on Sunday as well. We've got another couple here this morning. I haven't asked them, but Sievers and Aurelia are at the back there. And they have been with us because when we bought number 9 Chamberlain Road and we had our work party, we noticed that they had some garden refuge to be moved. And before we started, I said to them, can we use our trailer to move your stuff? And they were so blessed and blown away that they've come to our church because of garden refuge. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give the Lord a clap. That's the first person who's come to church because we did the garden for them, not because we witnessed to them. Hallelujah. It's fantastic. And let me just say this. There are opportunities everywhere, folks. And so we need to be looking over the fence. We need to be speaking to our colleagues at work, those in the office, those in university, those in school as well, making the most of every opportunity to reach our city for the gospel. And in fact, it's the main thing that should be preoccupying us, witnessing for Christ, witnessing for the gospel, the visitors that visit us, our website, our multiculturalness, our devotion to God's word and spirit, our commitment to the gospel of grace, noticing what happens in our city and connecting people to Jesus. It's sometimes just taking the time and connecting folk to Jesus, and you'll be amazed at what God does with that. So I would ask you, as we go into this December, don't just switch off. Don't just go into holiday mode. Ask God for opportunities to share the gospel with the people that come across your path. Ask God for that. Be looking. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. It means like purchasing. It's to purchase or buy up every opportunity you have for witness. It's like going to Pick and Pay and getting the specials, or going to the mall and getting the specials. You need to make the most of every opportunity God gives you over this holiday for sharing the gospel. Can we do that? Can we do that? Say, Lord, this holiday, I'm going to have a rest. I'm going to eat lots. I'm going to enjoy Christmas. I'm going to have a good time with the family. But Lord, help me to make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel. And then number 3, Paul begins to also, as he ends this letter off, commend his apostolic team and the different ministries that were serving with him in his ministry. Let's look at that together. And so there are 10 people in total, and I want to go through them this morning as Paul honors them as well. 10 people that he calls his fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And he had a mixed team. He had some Jewish guys and he had some Gentile guys on his team. Paul had a cross-cultural gift. This church has a cross-cultural gift. Not every church has. We're not saying that arrogantly. We're just saying God has given us that. God gave Paul that. Peter was an apostle without a cross-cultural gift. Peter was called to minister to the Jews. Paul could minister to Jews or Gentiles. He had a cross-cultural gift, and therefore his team was cross-cultural. When you have a gift in an area, it will manifest in the people that hang around you. And so in Paul's team, it was a mixed team. There were 3 Jewish guys. Sometimes you feel like you're reading an asterisk book, but it's Aristarchus, Mark, and Jesus Justice. Those were the 3 Jewish guys that were in his team. And then there were 3 Gentile guys, Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. And he says about the guys that were working, the Jewish guys that were working, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 11, he says this, and Jesus, who is called Justice, they are the only men of the circumcision amongst my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a great comfort to me. What does that mean? That means that there were not many Jews who were prepared to minister to Gentiles with Paul. There were not many Jews. Just like today, not everyone's comfortable with multicultural work. You need a grace upon you for that. But it's so important as we manifest the kingdom of God amongst us. And so Paul says they've been a comfort to me because it's lonely work, because I can't find many of my Jewish colleagues to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. This huge Gentile world that was ready for the gospel, he said, I can't find many of them to help me. But the guys I do have, and he mentions them, Aristarchus, Mark, and Jesus Justice, he says, I really value these guys because of what they're doing. And so Paul writes this letter in order to commend these workers and to stay in touch with the churches. That's how he stayed in touch with the churches, through apostolic relationship and through his letters. These letters were written out, were read out to the church on a Sunday morning. So guys, here, Paul's just written us another letter. We've just got a DHL. We want to read it to you this morning. And they would read the letter to the church, as we'll see in a minute. And so he goes through these guys. I want to go through them with you this morning. The first person he speaks about is Tychicus. And Paul calls him a beloved and faithful brother and member of Paul's apostolic team. This guy was quite translocal. It doesn't seem like he was an elder in the local church or any local church. It seems like he traveled with Paul and he had a ministry that was bigger than the local church or beyond the local church, in the local church and beyond the local church as well. And so we have people like that who may not specifically be elders, but they are called to translocal ministry. And that's what Tychicus did. Paul used him and his letters to keep in touch with the churches in his apostolic sphere. And Tychicus was translocal. And we find that he's mentioned in other New Testament letters. He's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. He's mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's mentioned in Titus chapter 3. And he's mentioned in Acts chapter 20. This guy, Tychicus. He was one of Paul's close mates and fellow workers for the kingdom of God. He helped to take the gift to Jerusalem as well. So he was an honorable guy. He was a man of character and integrity. And Paul honors this guy, Tychicus. He says there, and Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. So this was a faithful brother, Tychicus. Then we have Onesimus, who was Philemon's converted runaway slave. Okay, when you read Philemon, Paul says to Philemon, please take this guy back. Don't give him a hard time. If he owes you anything, I'll pay him. Paul said that to Philemon. And he was also Paul's beloved brother. And Paul sent him with Tychicus to carry the news to the other churches. Onesimus, this converted slave. Then thirdly, there was Epaphras, who was an evangelist and a prayer warrior. Those were his gifts. He was a prayer warrior and he was an evangelist. What a great combination. To minister to his own people in Colossae. So he was called to his own people. Some people are called cross-culturally. Some people are called to their own people. And he was called to his own people. And so he took the gospel to three cities. He took the gospel to Colossae, to Laodicea, and to Hierapolis. And he was a hard worker for the gospel. And it seems that these three guys, Epaphras, Onesimus, and Tychicus, were translocal in the work with Paul. They were part of his moving apostolic team. And then you've got the other guys. You've got Aristarchus, who was a Jewish Christian prisoner with Paul, who got saved with Paul. Imagine being chained up with Paul. I bet you get saved pretty quickly. And he was saved and part of Paul's team. And then you have John Mark. He pops up again from Mighty Mark. This young man was a son in the house to Peter, Paul, and Barnabas. And he was also a member of the team. He floated around and ministered in the churches. And then you had Paul himself, who was a cross-cultural first-generation apostle who helped to lay the foundations for the church. And he was the one who planted the churches and wrote the letters to the churches and dealt with issues that came up in those churches as well. And then you have Luke the doctor, number 7. He was the professional in the medical field. He was a writer and a researcher, not a preacher. Not many researchers or preachers, but he was also, he calls him Luke the beloved doctor. And I'm sure when they were sick or something on the trip, he was the guy that helped out after they prayed for them as well. And we want to thank God for Luke as well. And then you have Nympha, this woman, this prominent woman. She's like a Louise Schmidt in the church. And she is a prominent woman who had the church in her house. And Paul commends her as well for the work that she does. If you have a look there, and says, send my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And so there were no church buildings until the 3rd century. AD. And so people use their homes all over the place. And you've got Priscilla and Aquila who use their home. You've got Lydia. Remember when they went to Philippi, they met Lydia when they were praying at the river. And she said, if you consider me a believer, come into my house. You've got Nympha. You've got people that use their homes. There was Gaius's house in Corinth as well. And they used their homes for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The homes were used for three things in the New Testament. Remember, we did that series on hospitality. One, places to stay. Secondly, places for caring for people and strangers. The early Christians used to adopt so many babies and children into their homes as well that it also caused the gospel to spread as well. People used to throw babies, unwanted babies away, and the Christians used to pick them up and bring them into their homes. Hallelujah. And finally, it was a place for outreach and mission as well, as they invited strangers and friends into their homes for meals and for fellowship. What I love about Africa, you can arrive at someone's home and they welcome you in. Isn't that so? And so this woman was a was a powerful woman in the life of the church, and she was used, and her home was used for the work of the Lord. I want to thank you guys, and the way you've used your homes for small group meetings this year, the way you've opened your homes for visitors and for friends. I just want to say to you, well done. Your home is a key resource in the kingdom of God. It's not just for you. It's to be used for the Lord and for his work. And then you have Demas, number 9. You have Demas, who was one of Paul's workers, who later drifted off. He drifted off, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. He said, Demas has loved this world. So Demas drifted, he backslid back into the world. Not everyone who started out with Paul ended with Paul. Okay? And we experience the same thing sometimes in the Christian life. And then finally you have Archippus. And this guy was a bit slack. And so let's look at verse 17. And Paul encourages him to complete the ministry that God has given him. Okay, verse 17. I'm nearly finished. Verse 17, he says there, now remember, this letter is being read to the whole congregation. So in front of the whole congregation, they're reading it, and they say, oh, and Archippus, Paul says, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. So Paul says to him, come on, Archippus, don't be slack. Get on with what God has called you to do. Hallelujah, and he will bless you. Amen. So these are these 10 folk that Paul singles out in this letter to encourage, to commend, and to lift up before the Lord for the prayers of the churches as well. And I just want to say, as we come to a close of this year and of this letter, I want to say to you, I want to commend the people in this church who have also served. We have similar ministries in this church, and I want to just commend you this morning. Just turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 12. Verse 3, it says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. In this church, we belong to each other. We are members one to another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. Thank you for those that have served this year. You guys have been amazing. Thank you so much. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts or encourages, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. Those that have given this year to the building fund, and just month by month, thank you so much for your generosity this year. For those who lead with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And then 1 Corinthians 14, I'm just going to give you the three main passages where the gifts are. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So there's a lot of variety in the kingdom of God. Do you see that? That's why we mustn't put anyone in a box, because it's like there's a lot of variety. That's why each one of us can fit in somewhere. To one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each one of us has been given the Spirit for something. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then finally, Ephesians 4. There are other gifts as well, like the gift of celibacy, but we won't mention that this morning. We'll just stick with these main ones. Ephesians chapter 4 says, hallelujah, these are gifts of the ascended Christ. And it says, verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. Do you see that again? in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These gifts, these are folk that don't just have gifts, they are gifts. They themselves are a gift. When they come in, you receive a gift. And so we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to Him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And folks, we have similar ministries that have been operating in this church. And as we come to the end of this year, I want to just say thank you to the elders and wives for the way you've served this year. You guys have been incredible. Thank you so much. To the cell group leaders, thank you for Tuesday by Tuesday receiving folk into your home with a smile and a cup of coffee and tea and serving the vision that God has given us. For those that have served with helps and administration, Louise and Melinda and Webster and Vanna and the team, we just say thank you. We salute you. We're so blessed. Amen. Let's give them a clap. We pray that Vanna and Louise never grow old, because what would we do without them? May they stay forever young. For the worship leaders, Rob, you've done an amazing job as we've served us this year. Let's give them a clap. It's just been amazing. Hallelujah. It's been fantastic. Hallelujah. And can we sing some more of those Christmassy hymns between now and Christmas, please? This morning was great. Our children's workers, Kosanati and the team and Rob and Claire and others, well done, guys. Week by week, you take care of the kids. Let's give them a big clap. Well done. Hallelujah. Our youth, Raymond and my wife and Kwabena and Malusi and the team and Webster, let's give them a clap. Well done. Hallelujah. When everyone's at their tiredest at 6 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, you get stuck into this lot. Well done. You're just fantastic. We praise God for you. Hallelujah. Well done, Raymond. So good. For the young men amongst us that are coming through in our ranks and are serving, Webster and Piwe and Malusi and Kwabena and Kanyiso and so many, I can't call out all the names. We've got a group of young men coming through, and we just want to say, and women, and we just want to say, thank you, Lord. We just want to say, well done to you guys. Let's give them a big clap. Amen. Hallelujah. I was coming to, that was my next point here. To the prominent women amongst us, we've got some powerful women in this church. Well done to all the women. From Edith and Rini right down, we want to say thank you. Let's give them a big clap. Amen. And I've been thinking of us doing some more with women next year, maybe a women's conference. For those that have also served amongst us, like Avril and Annalene, well done. You guys have been amazing and a real pillar in our church. Let's just give them a thank you so much. Hallelujah. They visited the cells, got them ready for doing stuff properly and ready for mission. Thank you so much. And the way Avril preaches amongst us and just blesses. He's blessed me personally. Thank you to you guys. And then also to those who reach people in their own culture and those who reach people in other cultures, well done. Keep doing it. And then for the professionals amongst us, like Luke, those that work in hospitals and the doctors and the schools and in the universities and the technicon and areas of finance, and they're all in our church, these things I'm saying. Marketing and media and law and engineers and teachers and construction workers and NGOs and the motor car industry, in conservation, in the home, in local government, in the police force, in fashion and design, in banking, in IT, in insurance, in gardening, in domestic workers, mechanics, nightclub bouncers, those on pension, those in survey, those in the tourist industry, pastors, those in sales, tool makers, and even those in between jobs. Well done. Amen. Hallelujah. You've been a huge encouragement to all of us in the ministry that God has given us in Maritzburg. And we've served the city. We had many churches here. We've had, I don't know how many downloads have we had now of Michael's stuff recently? 300 downloads. That's fantastic. So we're serving the city and the ministry that God has given us as well. And we say, well done for that. As we look at next year, we want to continue with this mission thing. We don't want it to disappear and now we're on to foot washing or something else. We want to stay with this. We want to stay with this next year. We want to reach our city. We want to grow this church. We want to see people saved, particularly through our small groups next year. And our house has been more than we realized already. It has opened up a whole lot of things to us. And we are doing now training in the house. There are events there. We use it for mission. We use it as an office as well. And we're going to need a whole team to help us to manage that house because it's been such a blessing. Amen. And when our seminar room's finished, it's going to be fantastic as we train up this next generation. And so we'll talk to you about that in the new year. And what we want to do in the new year, soon after we start, is we want to get folk to sign up for areas of service and involvement, particularly in making that house really buzz for the Lord Jesus in reaching the city. Amen. We feel God has led us that way. And so I just say to you, on behalf of myself and Shannon, thank you for the way you've served. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your love and your loyalty. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being Grace Generation Church. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the way you've led us this year and the way you have brought us to this place, Lord. It's been such a good year. Let's just stand together. Let's just give the Lord thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.